Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Here we are on the final day of 2018, and it was quite the year. We'll spend some time recapping some of the big stories of the year, just like we've done the last few weeks. But first off, let's check in with Samson Omale, who has this report on the draws of the CAF Champions League from Abuja, Nigeria. Welcome to the show, Samson.
We begin the sports with a look at the draws for the group stages of the 2018-2019 CAF Champions League, which took place this past weekend in Cairo, Egypt. In Group A, Wydad Casablanca of Morocco, who were 2017 champions, are grouped alongside Mamelodi Sundowns, who took the championship in 2016. Also in the group is ASEC Mimosas of Ivory Coast and Lobi Stars of Nigeria. In Group B, CAF Champions League trophy holders Aspirants of Tunisia will face Hore of Guinea alongside Orlando Pirates of South Africa alongside FC Platinum of Zimbabwe. In Group C, TP Mazembe of DR Congo and five-time CAF champions were placed in Group C with Club Africain of Tunisia, Debuton CS Constantine of Algeria and Ismaili of Egypt. In Group D, record eight-time champions Al Ahly of Egypt alongside 1973 winners V Club of the Democratic Republic of Congo have been grouped alongside Simba SC of Tanzania and newcomers JS Sarua of Algeria. Away from the CAF Champions League, Uganda Premier League defending champions Vipers Sports Club have sacked Javier Martinez Espinoza as their head coach. Last week, Vipers exited the CAF Champions League after being beaten by Algeria side Constantine at home, relegating them to the CAF Confederations Cup. The Mexican, who had signed a two-year contract, was unveiled at the start of the Uganda Premier League. The club said the new coach will be named soon. Abdul Wasika is Vipers' spokesperson.
It's something that has been in the pipeline because of the way the team was being run under the coach that is leaving. So the team said, the management said that we need to make some changes. And you'll be seeing changes effective Monday before we unveil either the new head coach or a caretaker.
Elsewhere in Egypt, fans will not be allowed to attend Al Ahly's anticipated clash against Pyramids, the Egyptian Football Association announced on Sunday. Both sides face off on Friday in an adjourned league game. Pyramids are second in the league table with 30 points from 15 matches, 8 behind leader Zamalek, who played the same number of games, while Al Ahly lies 6th with 24 points from 12 matches. The Egyptian Football Association did not provide any reason for the decision. And ahead of the 2019 World University Games, the Association of Uganda University Sports will begin preparations for the World Games in January. The 2019 World University Game will take place in July 2019 in the Italian city of Napoli, which will host all of the games. Patrick Sebuliba is the General Secretary of the Association of Uganda University Sports.
I think we are number one in Africa. The last games in Taiwan and in Korea. So we want to maintain that level.
And that's it for the last edition for the year 2018. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria, and a happy new year to all of you.
Thank you, Samson, and a happy new year to you. Next up, we'll check in on some of the news from the weekend in European soccer with Prince Nesta. It was great to get a chance to meet Prince over the summer while he was working here at Voice of America. Prince, welcome to the show and sporty greetings as we wrap up 2018.
Sporty seasonal greetings to you too, Dan. The festive period has been full of cheer for Liverpool so far, as demonstrated when Roberto Firmino took advantage of Arsenal's defensive confusion to score a hat-trick as Liverpool came from behind to hammer Arsenal 5-1 at Anfield. Senegalese Danger-man Sadio Mane and Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah were also on target as the Reds extended their lead to 7 points clear at the top of the Premier League. Arsenal had earlier taken the lead after only 11 minutes when Ainsley Maitland-Niles slid in at the far post to score from Nigerian international Alex Iwobi's cross. The complexion and momentum of this year's title race also shifted once more as Manchester City got its faltering Premier League title defence back on track with a 3-1 win at Southampton thanks to two quick goals by David Silva and Sergio Aguero for the visitors, who also benefited from a fortunate own goal by Southampton midfielder James Ward-Prowse. Both Manchester City and Liverpool are scheduled to meet at the Etihad this Thursday, while Arsenal will take on Fulham at the Emirates Stadium on Tuesday.
Prince, one of the biggest teams in England, of course, is Manchester United. It seems like the new manager there, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, has paid off with some new energy and perhaps a lighter mood than the one brought by Jose Mourinho. What do you think about United and their interim manager?
That's right, Dan. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Manchester United's attacking machine sent the Red Devils into 2019 with another goal fest as the Reds hammered Bournemouth 4-1 at Old Trafford. The Reds' sizzling win was inspired by an impressive personal performance from French footballer of Guinean descent Paul Pogba, who scored twice in the first 45 minutes and set up a second-half strike for substitute Romelu Lukaku. Marcus Rashford also added to the score sheet to send United up to sixth place in the table. Manchester United kicks off 2019 with a difficult game against Newcastle at St. James Park. Meanwhile, Tottenham suffered an unexpected 3-1 defeat thanks to a dramatic comeback win by Wolverhampton Wanderers at Wembley. Spurs will be hoping to bounce back to their winning ways when they take on Cardiff later on Tuesday.
Prince, for me in the world of soccer here in Washington, D.C., one of my favorite stories was the arrival of a former Manchester United star, Wayne Rooney. Rooney, as you remember, sparked D.C. United on an incredible playoff drive as they went from last place to a spot in the postseason in just a matter of months, even hosting a playoff game at the brand new Audi Field. What were your favorite soccer moments of 2018?
Dan, it has been nothing but an incredible year as far as soccer is concerned, and various teams showcased amazing displays of their skills on the soccer pitch. Let's first of all start in the English Premier League. I've got to shout out Liverpool, who still remain unbeaten and on course to win the league in 2019. One fact that people should know is that no team in the Premier League history has led by 6 points or more at the turn of the year and relinquished that particular lead either. Currently, Liverpool has a 7-point lead over rivals Manchester City, but realistically speaking, when I look at it, the fight for the English Premier League title is still going to be between Manchester City and Liverpool. Looking at the Spanish La Liga, Barcelona also on course to win another title, although we cannot rule out any other possibility of them slipping up and allowing either Atletico Madrid, Sevilla, or even Real Madrid, mathematically speaking, to win the competition. But I believe that the Spanish La Liga is actually firmly in Barcelona's hands to lose. Looking at the French League, it's pretty obvious that Paris Saint-Germain will be expected to win the French League come 2019. It can be attributed to the fact that the Mbappe, Neymar and Cavani trio remains unstoppable. And same to Juventus, who are re-energized by the arrival of 5-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo in Turin. Talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, he actually scored again twice during the weekend to help the runaway leaders Juventus escape with a 2-1 win over rival Sampdoria. It won't come as a surprise to me if Juventus actually win the Serie A title, Dan. And the Champions League is also another tournament to watch out for come 2019. It might be the year of the underdogs, actually, come to think of it, and I will not underestimate the likelihood of teams such as Liverpool, who seem to have the tightest defense and one of the most feared attacks in Europe right now, or even Borussia Dortmund, who are actually currently on the lead as far as Bundesliga is concerned. Nevertheless, my back still rests with perennial giants such as Juventus and Barcelona and Bayern Munich to actually win the Champions League in 2019. May I take this opportunity to wish you and the Voice of America fraternity, and most importantly, our dear listeners, a happy and sporty new year in advance. I'm Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you, Prince, and I wish you a great 2019. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports here on The Voice of America. Sunny will be back here in the big chair on Tuesday to help you start your new year off on the right foot. Continuing our conversation about the memorable moments of 2018, we're joined now by Sean Leahy. Sean is the Boston editor of a sports news and features website, The Athletic, that really took off in 2018. Turns out that was a good thing, as Boston fans got another sports news outlet as the Boston Red Sox ran through the Major League Baseball playoffs en route to winning the World Series just a couple months ago. I asked Sean what it was like to see the Red Sox have such a dominant season in 2018, recording the most wins in baseball and beating the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Well, it's electric during the World Series, that's for sure. You know, the baseball for people in Boston is kind of in your blood. You were born, if you were born in this area, you were born a Red Sox fan, and you was probably passed down from your mother and father and your grandparents, and, you know, it kind of soaks in through the generations. Of course, so many generations, the 86 years, expected the Red Sox to lose. And what they did this year was obviously win the World Series. This was the fourth World Series they've won in the last 15 seasons. And what they've done is establish themselves as the preeminent franchise in Major League Baseball in this century. They have become essentially what the New York Yankees used to be. You know, New York Yankees like to crow about winning 27 world championships. Well, most of those came, you know, in the first, you know, 60 years of the 1900s. In fact, in about 40 of those years, the Red Sox, have just flipped Major League Baseball on its head. And they're winning, and it's not tied to one player. They're winning. You know, they won in 2004, 2007, 2013, and now 2018. They're winning with different players. They're winning with different managers. And they've just built an organization that sustains winning at a very high level. And that has really changed the culture here in Boston because, you know, for 8 or 9 decades, people expected the Red Sox to lose because they lost in fantastic fashion. You know, they got close to the World Series several times. You know, Ted Williams, maybe the greatest player who ever lived, played a long time for the Red Sox, never won the World Series. In fact, got to ultimate game, Game 7, once and lost. And the Red Sox reputation was just as a team that would get close but never win. They've totally flipped that. And the expectations in Boston have changed too. It can be a cantankerous town. And they were in first place most of the season. They won 108 games with a 162-game schedule. That was a franchise record. But if you listen to folks around town throughout a lot of the summer, they really weren't all that happy with the team. There were a lot of complaints about one of their star pitchers, David Price, who has kind of he used to have just a sour relationship with the fans. I think that's has been turned on its head after he threw was a winning pitcher in the World Series clinching game. It's a special relationship that the Red Sox and their fans have in Boston. But the ultimate takeaway here this year is that, you know, the Red Sox are the team that everybody in Major League Baseball is chasing. And it's not a one-year thing. It's a two-decade-long thing now. And the Red Sox have just changed the hierarchy of who's on top in Major League Baseball.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. I'm speaking with Sean Leahy, a sports editor in Boston. Boston was the hub of sports activity this year, with local teams in the World Series, the Super Bowl, NBA playoffs, and playing host to a remarkable Boston Marathon. I asked Sean about the dramatic 18-inning, 7-hour World Series game in Los Angeles, and how, even though the Red Sox lost, they were able to rally to win the series.
The old Red Sox would have lost that series after losing that game. That was just a gut punch of a loss. You know, you're 18 innings. You had a starting pitcher come into the game in the 11th or 12th inning, Nathan Eovaldi, and he, you know, throws 6 or 7 innings, keeps your team in the game. You had a throwing error that basically you thought you had the game won. I think in the 13th, you had a throwing error by your second baseman, gives the game, you know, back to the Dodgers, and it extends for another couple hours and five more innings. There were chances for the Red Sox to win, and they squandered them. And the old Red Sox, when the Dodgers hit that walk-off home run in the 18th inning, the old Red Sox would have folded. It was reminiscent, that walk-off home run was reminiscent of the New York Yankees beating the Red Sox in Game 7 of the American League Championship Series in 2003. And that's, you know, when Aaron Boone hit it off of Tim Wakefield. That's the feeling that, you know, I think a lot of Red Sox fans probably had in their gut. But this Red Sox team was different. They had a first-year manager in Alex Cora, who from the first day in spring training infused them with confidence that they lacked before. He came with new ideas about how to use advanced analytics, about how to use a bullpen and a pitching staff differently in the playoffs. And he just had the team believing in itself, and especially after that loss. I think what they did is they went into the locker room after that game that they lost in Game 3, the 18-inning game, and, you know, they rallied around each other and they said, this isn't going to define us. And sure enough, I mean, it should have. The Dodgers should have won the series at that point, right? I mean, the Dodgers have the Red Sox on the ropes. Even though they're losing in the series, they've got the momentum. And the next night, they had Rich Hill come out and throw a fantastic game for them, and they just couldn't close it there in Game 4. The bullpen floundered for them in the last couple of innings. So, you know, they should have been able to, beat the Red Sox back there. But the Red Sox were resilient. The confidence they have was just, it was a different type of confidence than the Red Sox of old used to have. You know, generations came and went in Boston and saw the Red Sox never win the World Series. People, you know, live their whole lives without seeing the Red Sox win the World Series. You know, if you're 15 years old now, you've seen the Red Sox win the World Series four different times. It's just a totally different era here in Boston.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're talking with sports editor Sean Leahy in Boston. We'll have more of our end-of-the-year wrap-up conversation with Sean in just a moment.
Hello, friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me, along with the hosts of VOA's hottest new television show, Our Voices, this Monday. The ladies will share their thoughts on our topic, Searching for Love. That's Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're talking with Sean Leahy, the sports editor of TheAthletic.com in Boston. I talked to Sean about the Super Bowl, which saw the New England Patriots once again playing in the big game, being led by Tom Brady and coach Bill Belichick early in 2018. The Patriots are back in the NFL playoffs once again this year, as are their opponent in the 2018 Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are the defending Super Bowl champions, upsetting the New England Patriots, who were the favorite in that big game. Sean, what was the reaction in Boston to the Patriots losing to the Eagles in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, the reaction to the Patriots' loss in the Super Bowl was stunning. I mean, this was a Patriots team that had won the Super Bowl the previous year, that, you know, has the best player maybe in the history of the game in Tom Brady leading it, maybe the best coach ever, and you're playing a Philadelphia Eagles team that has a backup quarterback leading it in Nick Foles. There was not a lot of worry among Patriots fans that they, you know, couldn't win that game. They scored nearly 40 points. The Patriots did not punt in the game. They should have won this game, but the defense just couldn't stop the Eagles at any point. As good as Tom Brady is, the Eagles got to him at the end of the game, forced a fumble, take the ball away, and that's it. You know, if Patriots have the ball last, they probably win the game. But the Eagles had the ball last, and they win a close game, and fair play to them. I mean, look, the Patriots, they're in the playoffs again this season. Their seasons basically come down to kind of a two game sprint. They've won their division, the AFC East, for the 10th straight season. They usually get a playoff bye in the first round, so that means that they win the divisional weekend. It's a two game season to get to the Super Bowl. You've got the divisional round two. You've got the conference championship game round three. Because the Patriots are so good consistently, they typically play at home in the playoffs. They earn that right. They very rarely have to travel in the playoffs, so they have the luxury of playing in front of their home crowd. And it's just, you know, it's like, can you win the AFC championship game? That's the Patriots season. You know, that's the biggest question in the Patriots season most years. You're not going to win at every time you get to that level and you get to the Super Bowl. They're 5-3 in the Super Bowls, with Tom Brady. That's tremendous. You can't win it every time. And you could certainly make the case that, that they could have lost a few more of those or won a few more of those. They've all been close games. The Patriots tend to win. They tend to do things right in the closing moments of the games, but they didn't do it against the Eagles that time. They haven't done it a lot here in the 2018 season. So we've seen some signs of un-Patriots-like things that are happening, you know, committing penalties and making mental mistakes that typically other teams make when they play the Patriots. But that, it all kind of started back there at that Super Bowl. That's where things started to unravel for the Patriots. And of course, we'll get in the next couple of weeks, we'll get an idea of, if they can do it one more time.
Sean, I was sitting here in this very chair back in April when the Boston Marathon was ending. I was checking my phone for updates as the show was going on. And to my surprise, the favorite East African runners were nowhere to be found. And instead, American Des Linden won the women's race, and Japanese runner Yuki Kawauchi won the men's race. What do you remember about that day in April?
Well, it was a raw, really cold, rainy day. It was not the type of day where you want to be outside doing much of anything at all, especially running a marathon. I remember working inside and being glad I wasn't outside. It was just a miserable day. Excuse me. I think Des Linden was the American winner, and she nearly dropped out in the first 5 or 6 miles. She didn't think she was running all that well. But slowly but surely, many of the elite runners started dropping out or falling back. And by the time she gets to mile 20, 21, 22, I think she slowly realizes, hey, I could win this. And then it was a big surprise to her that she was in position to win and that she actually did win when she crossed the finish line on Boylston Street, because she nearly stopped running early in the race. For her, she became a Bostonian that day. She's from Michigan, I believe. But I remember saying to someone who was near me at the time, I don't think she realizes it right now, but she's now a Bostonian. People are going to remember her, and she has become the face of this marathon, and she probably will be the face of this marathon for the rest of her life. Because now, twice in 4 years, Meb Keflezi a couple years ago, and now Des Linden, we've had American winners in both the men's and women's divisions, something we didn't have for 3 decades or more. The Boston Marathon's a great day, and people are always excited for the champion, regardless of who wins it, because it is quite a feat. Sometimes you want to see a local person win.
Thank you, Sean. That's Sean Leahy of The Athletic in Boston. And that wraps up the December 31st edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger and VOA engineer John Dryden. Thank you for tuning in this year. Have a great 2019, and I look forward to joining you again soon here in the big chair. Sunny will be back tomorrow. I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me, along with the hosts of VOA's hottest new television show, Our Voices, this Monday. Ladies will share their thoughts on our topic, Searching for Love. That's Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA reports that its New Horizons spacecraft is in good shape and on its final approach to its New Year's Day flyby of a Kuiper Belt object called 2014 MU-69 or Ultima Thule. The spacecraft that provided scientists with in-depth information and high-resolution images of the dwarf planet Pluto is getting ready to conduct an historical first-ever close-up exploration of a Kuiper Belt object. NASA says New Horizons is expected to fly within 3,500 kilometers of Ultima Thule's surface at 0533 UTC on January 1st, 2019. The space agency says the flyby of the trans-Neptunian object will also be the farthest exploration of any world ever. The spacecraft will map Ultima Thule as well as determine its surface composition, how many moons it has, and if it has rings or even an atmosphere. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts
every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.